these deep-rooted problems that they talk about. Truancy, can it be tackled in the modern age? It's always been an issue. We're going to be looking at that in a moment. The World Cup, you can pick a team in our sweep. If your team wins, you'll get 100 quid. And I've mentioned it already and we'll mention it again. Is there a possibility that we're going to get a fine summer run? We'll try and get someone from the Met Office to talk to us between now and 12 noon. So good morning. 90333105 is the main number. Do hope you can take part in the programme, and you'll need a World Cup team if you're going into the big game on Thursday and the whole run from now until the 13th of July. If you haven't managed to get a good team in your office sweep, you could get a good one here. But tell me, are you listening to the programme at this present moment in time with the youngsters somewhere close by instead of being in school? Or is there a possibility you think your child's in school when they're not? An assembly report published today by the Public Accounts Committee has found that the Education Welfare Service is not on top of the problem of non-attendance at school. That's what it's technically called, non-attendance at school, as opposed to bunking off. The report found that 16,000 pupils here miss 6 weeks of school, or almost 6 weeks of school, yet the schools have not made referrals to the Education Welfare Service for this support that would be available. The report also found that the local unauthorised absence record was double that reported across in England. Now, there were particular problems for the most vulnerable young people, including pupils from socially deprived backgrounds and traveller children, as well as children in care. So that would add to the serious number of youngsters who aren't at school. I want to speak to Michaela Boyle, who's the chair of the Public Accounts Committee. Michaela Boyle, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
When you look at it, that 16,000 pupils here miss almost 6 weeks of school. That's a pretty stark figure. When you begin to think about children from vulnerable families, traveller children who are doing exactly that, travelling and sometimes aren't available to come to school. Also, some children from some ethnic minority backgrounds find it difficult to bed in to school when they first start. They mightn't be there all the time. Children in care as well. You wouldn't be long gathering up a serious number of kids.
Absolutely. And as you quite rightly said, Frank, nearly 16,000 local pupils missing almost 6 weeks of school each year, unauthorised absence in comparison to England and Wales. We found that many schools did not contact the Education Welfare Service when young people were absent from school. This has to be an absolute priority for action. Whilst the committee noted that the department had taken a number of steps to improve pupil attendance over the last 10 years since the Audit Office first done their report in 2004, it is disappointing that it has not made more progress on implementing the recommendations out of the Audit Office 2004 report.
Is there a suggestion that some head teachers or some schools have a look round the school when they go in the morning and they see a certain number of candidates missing off the roll and they're almost relieved that they're not there?
Well, you know, schools do play a crucial role in terms of improving standards within schools. And in schools where you do have strong leadership, it is up to the school leadership in that school to report to the Education Welfare Service. If there is a number of children absent within the classroom, within the school day, you know, so they do play a role, but we believed within the committee that we weren't convinced that the department and the Education Welfare Service had got to grips with the most deep-rooted issues, such as areas, as you mentioned earlier, as social disadvantage, you know, looked after children and traveller children. Now, I will welcome the fact that the department is bringing forward a policy on looked after children, so we'll be looking at towards that to see what the outcome of that will be.
You see, I remember when I was at school years ago, there used to be a gentleman called Mr. Carr, and Mr. Carr used to go round the local schools, and, you know, if you saw him coming along the road on a day off, you were really concerned that he might think you had no good reason to be off, and he may have come over and spoken to you with regards to you not being at school. He was overseeing the schools in the area with regards to truancy. Is there still an equivalent of Mr. Carr in this day and age?
Yeah, and we had the very same Mr. Carr, or not the same Mr. Carr, but a Mr. Devaney in my own hometown of Stradan years ago. And indeed, if you had saw him, you know, he would have put the wind up you and you would have been frog marched right to the school seat again. Yeah, just in terms of where we are with that, there are 134 education welfare officers right across the north that are based within the education and library boards. You know, the services being provided to schools, but despite the substantial investment, the committee considered it completely unacceptable that education welfare services were discouraging schools from making referrals, and we believed it was important that schools have the freedom to refer all cases which give grave cause for concern towards tackling absenteeism.
So when it is reported, do you expect some group of people or some individual people to actually go to, say, the travelling family who aren't sending their children to school regularly, or to the socially deprived family that maybe mum or dad or mum and dad are simply lying in bed to 12 o'clock because they've had a very difficult night for some reason and they haven't got the kids up to go to school? Do you expect doors to be knocked? Is that what you're calling for?
Well, yes, it's absolutely clear that tackling the problem of non-attendance, particularly where there's persistent non-attendance, in some cases they are highly complex. They may involve a wide range of issues. So we believe that, in terms of going forward with this, it's not just a department or an education and library board issue. There needs to be a more joined up collaboration between the education welfare officers, district inspectors, people, communities, and indeed families, because families do, you know, parents have a duty of care. It's their legal duty to ensure that their children attend school regularly. And it's parents who effectively forfeit the value of their children's education. So it's up to them to ensure that they do attend, you know, and it's vital that the department does all that it can to engage with disaffected parents and indeed the local community to raise awareness of this.
Now, ultimately, is it not down to the Education Minister, Mr. O'Dowd?
Well, the overall responsibility is the Department of the Education, and as I said, the Education and Library Boards employ the Education Welfare Officers, and I'll reiterate that it is, you know, it's a collaborative approach going forward. We have made a number of recommendations, and one is that the Department should develop and implement an attendance strategy, which includes an emergency action plan within 6 to 12 months. We also further recommended that the department consider a number of issues in terms of it's part of a strategic response, and that is targeting the absence of vulnerable groups, the need to have different approaches and interventions for different stages. And obviously, in any case, early intervention is key, and key for prevention of this.
Is this not Michaela Boyle of Sinn Féin being diplomatic in relation to speaking about a colleague who's the Education Minister?
No, because this is not my report. It's the public accounts report made up of all the members of the Assembly, so it's not.
With regards to, say, fast-forwarding 12 months, do you really expect changes to be made? Do you expect people to be grasping this nettle? Because surely it's not just children from socially deprived backgrounds, traveller children and vulnerable children. There must also be some, if you excuse the term, bunker offers that we used to have from years ago. Kids who simply pretend to mum and dad they're going to school and they don't.
Yes, and that still remains a problem to this day. I mean, you know, parents do what they can when they send their children to school and they think their children are in school. I do know there is a lot of good examples from schools, and indeed, you know, going back with my own children were at school, they do have a thing where they contact families and parents or guardians by text message if the child doesn't turn up in the morning or if they don't turn up after lunch. So there is good examples going on within schools, but as I said, you know, there must be a greater collaboration between everybody that's involved in the welfare of children, and that includes the justice justice system, DSD, neighbourhood renewal. And again, we have a lot of people that are disadvantaged in neighbourhood renewal areas, but you have to look outside of the neighbourhood renewal areas as well. Also, there are plenty problems there that exist also.
There are so many influences, there definitely are. I have to totally agree with you on that. Michaela Boyle, thank you for your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Killa Boyle, who's the chair of the Public Accounts Committee. Now, Ms. Boyle did touch on the fact that there's good practice across Northern Ireland. This has to be emphasised. It's not just as if the schools and the education welfare system and all the other vested interests are turning a blind eye to those who aren't being educated. There's many's an initiative that's drawing the children towards the school. I want to speak to Mr. John Platt, who's the principal of Milburn Primary School up in Coleraine. Mr. Platt, good morning. Let me see, you'll be on line three. Good morning, Mr. Platt.
Good morning, Frank.
I think you're an example of best practice. You don't have a serious issue. Any issue that you have had up in the Coleraine area, you've certainly addressed.
Yes, we looked at the problems that the school faced some 10 years ago, and I have a very strong staff and very strong set of governors, and we drew up a range of strategies to redress the issue of absenteeism. We started with, removed all the fencing from the school. We got very high level of community involvement. We do special mornings three times a year when we bring in parents, grandparents, carers. They have breakfast with the staff and the children. They talk through any issues. I personally, along with my three senior staff, do home visits when it appears to us a child is not ill, but it's not at school. and then we made a very big effort to change the gender imbalance in the school, and we now have a much greater number of male staff as role models. We produced a very positive school culture in that we opened the doors to the community and we asked the parents just to come in and talk to us freely. There are no special mornings when they would have to make appointments to see myself or a senior member of staff. We are available all the time. And lastly, we removed all testing on a Friday to increase attendance on a Friday.
That's interesting. There's a long list of things there that you've done, including the tests are on a Friday, so if you ain't there, you aren't going to be checked, and therefore you will turn up because you need to have, you have to have a system in place whereby there's a record,
yes,
of the progress that you're making. Uh-huh. But the very first thing you said was you took away all fencing around the school. Is that to take away from almost the jail-like,
yes,
effect that the child might be going through?
Yes, I had a long chat with PSNI, and I explained to them that I didn't like the fencing, and the governors had discussed. We were just in the process of having, you know, renewed 6-foot-6 fences. And I said to them, look, first of all, think of the image that puts into a child's head. And I remember being a 14-year-old boy, and I remember the effect a 6-foot-6 fence had on me. I had to climb it and get over it. So I don't want the fencing put up, and I want every piece of fencing around the school removed.
Have you anything that's a barrier between the playground and the street? There must be something.
Nothing. We have complete community involvement in the school. I bring in the community leaders every 4 to 6 weeks. We sit down, we have a cup of coffee with the senior staff. We discuss any of the issues, and they guarantee absolute security for the school.
But what about child safety, a child running out into the general environment and maybe a car coming along?
Well, that actually does happen occasionally. But we have, first of all, we've got about 30 feet between the closest distance between the main road and the school, and all children are taken through every piece of safety advice the moment they start school. And we encourage them to be positive about everything and come to my office and discuss an issue before they run. So my office is open every day, every minute, every day, and I would have children in most days of the week discussing some issue with me.
Yeah. You see, people who listen to this programme regularly will know I'm a bit of a health and safety freak, and I'm always raising things that what might happen if this was the case. But we all know children well enough to suggest that when they're excited, they can run as well. You know, they might kick a ball and they race after the ball, and it's just happiness that brings them out into danger. Is that not a worry?
It's obviously a worry, but it has to be weighed up against what are the positives from what we do, and do the positives outweigh the negatives? And in this instance, I've been through this with the governors and the senior staff and the parent body of the school, and we would have completely unanimous support for what we do. I send an open questionnaire to the parents every February, and each year a third of the parents get one questionnaire, a third of the parents get a different one, and this issue is constantly on the questionnaires, and in the last 8 years I haven't had a single concern raised about the open door policy of the school.
Well, it's a really interesting initiative. Now, I know there would be some schools, and I can visualise them in my head, that couldn't possibly have a school campus without a major surround in position. But this other idea of the parents being able to turn up without an appointment, is that not a pest for the teachers or for the senior teachers?
For the first few months it was, but then parents very quickly realised the best time of day to attend the school. And if I could give you an indication of how successful all of this has been, when I moved to the school and the Board of Governors made the appointment, we had on average somewhere between £35,000 and £50,000 worth of vandalism a year. And the vandalism rate for the last 3 years, in fact probably last 7 or 8, is zero. There hasn't been a single broken window in the school, there hasn't been a door damaged, nothing. So we know that this policy works, and once we get complete community involvement with the school, the children are discouraged from doing any damage. And that includes children who are in the range from 11 to 15, 16 and not at this school anymore. So we know that everything that we're doing is working. The statistical analysis of the data for the school shows quite clearly that it's working, and the attendance pattern in the school shows quite clearly that it's working. And if I take the example of this Friday morning's World Cup morning in school, and we have the school open from 7:15 to 9 o'clock for parents, we will have roughly 200 to 325 parents, grandparents, and that's not including the children who come into school for breakfast and sit down and talk with the teachers and myself.
It sounds like just a position of, I don't know how best to describe this, you know, advantage. You will be the envy of other parents and teachers who may be aware of what you're doing. I just wonder, do you have any vulnerable people at your school? Do you
yes.
have anyone from socially deprived backgrounds, any of these children who fall into the category of the 16,000 that are Mitching School?
Well, we have 50% free school meals, and the school is in the middle of a socially, economically deprived area. We're in a neighbourhood renewal area, and the governors and myself, we are the lead school for the 9 other neighbourhood renewal schools in the area, and we put in extensive bids for additional finance to support everything we do. And over the last 4 years, DSD has supported the 10 schools to the tune of about £675,000 to put into place new programmes for the children, the parents and the carers. As a head teacher, you have to actually sit down and do the job, and you can't be passing the responsibility on to the Minister of State for Education, because with all due respect to whichever party is in charge of education, we have a system which is really not very highly performing at the moment and could be improved, and there are probably much greater issues for the Minister than the attendance of children, which I think does fall primarily upon the leadership of the school.
Well, you're certainly taking it very seriously, Mr. Yep. Platt. There's no question about that. And maybe the template for Milburn Primary School may be the one to copy. It'll not be suitable for all areas and all regions, but certainly, yeah. And you are, as you say, in a socially deprived area as well. It may be the panacea for some of the ills. And what about Friday? You're going to be testing again on Friday after the World Cup?
We eradicated Friday testing completely because the data for the school showed quite clearly that the attendance rate of boys was dropped off on a Friday by about 12%.
Oh, I misunderstood that. My apologies. I misunderstood that. Mm. I thought you put the tests on a Friday because they had to turn up for the tests.
No, we removed all degrees of testing in school, and we have only 5 periods in the year when the children are given tests, and we don't allow any other child to see the score of any other child in the class.
My goodness, I did misunderstand that one. I would have thought testing was of paramount importance in this day and age.
High quality teachers really don't need to use excessive testing. To ensure that we are able to plot the improvement of every child, we test on 5 occasions a year, twice in the autumn term, twice in the spring term, and once in the summer term. And I've just finished the analysis of the first set of tests. So really, when a parent comes into this school, I can tell any parent exactly where his or her child is. I can also tell each teacher, and I've done this week, whether they have taught the girls in the class better than the boys, whether there has been a high enough level of improvement of each of the children, and I make comparisons across the classes, and I hand those comparisons to the teachers and advise them of what I'd like to see happening next.
Goodness, no wonder people like going to your school, Mr. Platt. It's a really interesting, positive analysis.
Yes.
I just wonder if other teachers or parents are listening, is it possible to replicate it everywhere? They'll be shouting at the radio, I'm sure. This isn't the real world, but it's the real world in Coleraine. You weren't anything to the former Northern Ireland goalkeeper.
Brother.
Are you? For goodness sake. Jim Platt's brother.
Yes. Right.
So you're looking forward to the World Cup, obviously.
I am, yes.
John, great speaking to you.
And to you, Frank.
An interesting lesson. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
That's Mr. John Platt, brother, of course.